This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello, hello, and welcome. And I am so excited that you have joined me today. So today I want you to get on your favorite tourist shirt and your big giant sunglasses, because we're going to go on a travel adventure. You know, I'm Phyllis Smith, and here's my question for the day. What is on your bucket list? So I know for me, and probably for many of you, traveling to an exotic or romantic place is very high on the list. So how do we make that happen? Well, enter Kelly Murley. She is the founder of Bucket List Retreats, where she helps you put your travel list into action and put a check mark next to it and with a big, beautiful words that say done. She is also the host of Travel Talk on EWN Radio Network that releases a new podcast every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central. So Kelly, thank you so much. I'm so excited that you're joining us today and that you are our new host on EWN Radio Network.
Hello, Phyllis. Thank you so much, my fellow e-woman and my mentor, my teacher and friend. It's a pleasure.
Oh, wonderful. So I just want to say we're gonna find out really how you got into travel. And it is literally in your blood. But before we do that, I know you just came back from somewhere really cool, exotic, and someplace we'd all want to go. Just kind of in a nutshell, where did you go? And then that'll give us all a set us up for the kinds of retreats you do and the places you go.
Perfect. We just got back from Tulum, Mexico. Tulum is about an hour and 45 minutes south of Cancun in the Caribbean, and it was 10 wonderful women who went on this retreat. It was called the Fun Creative Joy Retreat, so that's exactly the points we wanted to hit, to enjoy ourselves, have a fun time, to have a creative time. We had an artist in residence that we took with us. We enjoyed creativity classes every day. Swam in the Caribbean, had gorgeous gourmet meals at a fabulous boutique-type resort, and really came back with that we had time on our hands to explore ourselves and who we are and where we're going with our creativity. And I know that every one of us felt transformed like we do every time we come back from this beautiful location of Tulum. It's definitely... it should be on your bucket list. It's named as one of the best beaches in the world. It certainly is.
Well, so it sounds like what you're saying, the thing that's different then about retreats as opposed to taking a vacation is that they are and can be transformative. Your life can literally change. I know Sandra has a retreat every year at the Riviera Maya, and she goes with several women, and they work on their business, they work on themselves, and they do come back transformed. So I don't know if it's something about the beach or the air or the fact that you're in a calming place that allows you to dive deep into your soul. But yeah, they really are. It's something else, and definitely worth considering if you've not done that.
Right. It's all of the above. It's putting yourself in a beautiful location that is on your bucket list. You have dreamed of going there. Most of us want to go to the same top, say, 50 bucket list places. So if that's on your list, boom, that hits a big part of something that you've wanted to do, and you don't mind spending the money to do it or taking the time to do it, because it's very hard for us Americans to step back and take the time to fill up our cups so that we can give out the way that we want to.
So you come by travel very naturally. So tell us, take us through your journey into the world of travel and becoming a travel expert.
Sure. That it's very true. It's in my blood. I am one of the lucky few whose ancestors took the time to document their lives and their genealogy, and a pattern of wanderlust is certainly evident in our family history, and it's held my family really spellbound for centuries while coming to America and then across the whole continent over to the West, and then finally my dad took us north to Alaska. So it's something that has been a part of the family all of my life. I really had that travel bug. I just didn't know how I was going to get it done.
So you went to your dad, you were traveling all the time as a child, and you wound up in Alaska.
We did. He loved to fish, and the king salmon up there are world renowned as the best catch in the world, and he followed his heart to catch those king salmon, and that's what he did. So I wound up there and eventually married my husband. We had kids and went on a trip to Seattle for 4 days, a little tiny trip. We had the parents watch the kids, but we just involved ourselves in the community in Seattle, had such a great time, and realized that if we continued to live in Alaska, we weren't going to get to see all of the things that were out there to see, because it takes a whole plane ticket just to get out of Alaska, much less go anywhere else on the continent or to other parts of the world. A lot of Alaskans fly straight to Hawaii or straight to Mexico because it's an easier shot than it is to go gallivanting across the U.S.
So, you know, travel today, people can go online, as I do. Kayak.com mm-hmm. is my friend. And certainly I'm buying tickets there. Do I even call it travel? It's like you buy a ticket, like on a bus, I go visit my parents. But it's, you know, they also offer different things that you can do online. You can get hotels. You can book all kinds of things. But what you do is really special. And it requires some money. And so there is a particular audience that you're going to be involved with. So how, from a business standpoint, is this something that you chose to do to be different, to separate yourself from what is kind of the norm when it comes to just basic travel out there?
No, for me, it was really getting to go. It all started with our book club that we formed in 2000. And before we knew it, a couple of us were traveling and six more wanted to go. So what we found was when we all put our money together, we could find something on Airbnb, a fabulous three-story walk-up in downtown Savannah, and be able to really enjoy or immerse ourselves in the experience of being in Savannah, Georgia, and doing it very nicely. Instead of having like five rooms at a hotel where we weren't all together and we didn't get to experience a lot of each other's other experience. So that's really where it all started. It just developed in a want to travel and a group that put their money together and said, hey, if we put our money together, we can really have a really genuine experience and come away with something that we'll be able to talk about forever. So that's really how it all started. And so then after a few retreats, I went to Jennifer Loudon's retreat in Taos, New Mexico, and to the Astro Twins retreat in Tulum, and that's where I discovered this beautiful retreat center down there and realized, hey, right there I can merge the two, the joy of retreating and putting people together into places that they've always wanted to go to, and Bucket List Retreat was born that way.
So you know, one of the things that I think would be is important is that we're not just talking, and you alluded to it earlier, we're not just talking, you know, family vacation retreats. It's really more about transformation. And So some of the things you talk about and things that you do is offer this to businesses, to companies, corporations. And why would a company or corporation consider a retreat for their business?
Well, a lot of them do, and usually it's an entrepreneur type person, someone who's written a book or has a blog and a following, and those people that are following that person are wanting more of that person. So It gives them the opportunity to say, hey, spend a week with me in a fabulous place. We'll dive into the material that you all love that I'm sharing with you. And those attendees really feel special because they've spent the week with a person that they really admire. And the facilitator, this adds to their bottom line. This is something that you make money off of doing, and you get to involve travel. And it just really translates into this transformational type experience that I'm talking about and that you're asking me about.
Yeah. So not everybody can run a retreat. I mean, do you have to be licensed or insured to do this?
There are really no like retreat police. However, there are rules about selling retreat or selling travel specifically. So they don't want you, they want you to have some credentials. So we got licensed and insured to make sure that we can offer the types of retreats that we're offering. And that way, if this is something that you want to offer to your following, you don't have to worry about that. We've got that in covered. It's pretty handy.
Yeah. So the process works that is that you sit down with say somebody in the leader, the owner of the company, or the writer of the book, or whoever that might be, and what's the process you go through with them to determine how, where, when the retreat's going to be?
Yeah, I always try to ask them, number one, what is number one on your bucket list, travel list? So it's amazing how that often coincides with whatever it is that if they're teaching. If it's someone who does fashion, they want to go to Paris or Milan. So perfect. Mm-hmm. We'll find the proper place, the perfect number of people they think they can attend to during that week. I almost always do a week. It gives everyone, the facilitator, time to share what he or she has to offer, and the attendees plenty of time to immerse themselves in the location that they've spent a lot of money to go to and get everything done. So it usually seems to coincide, and if it's not that number one place, we'll go to the second or third place. And then I draw up a budget with a few excursions, and we figure out exactly how much it's going to cost the attendee. And it's really that simple. Once we agree to the budget, we just go for it. And I do all of the work as far as working with the retreat centers and the attendees. So you're just promoting the event and getting the attendees to me, and I take it from there. And then you take it once you're on retreat. You take over, and we send an assistant with you to separate yourself from the attendees so that you get time to rejuvenate for your next session. And that's pretty much how it works.
Can you name, tell me, you've been so many places, you know, just tell me, your top three most favorite places you've ever been, and like one really unusual story, but we're going to come back after a short break and you're going to tell us about that. So stay tuned.
Great.
All right, right after this short break.
Never has there been a better time for women to hack success. The shift is on and the breakthroughs are real. We're taking success to a whole nother level. Join us at the Women's Success Summit, a gathering of dynamic, smart women helping women. We want to learn about you and what you have to offer. Bring your A game and be prepared to transact some business. Oh, and by all means, dress to impress.
Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. You can listen to us Tuesdays, noon Eastern, on the EWN Radio Network. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. Listen to me and my guest Tuesdays, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on the EWN Radio Network as we help you learn how you can be a thriving entrepreneur.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
Yes, and welcome back. I hope now you have a Mai Tai or a rum and coke or something, and you're just sitting back and enjoying this conversation with Kelly Merle. She is the founder of Bucket List Retreats, and she is also one of our esteemed EWN Radio Network hosts. So, Kelly, thank you again. I'm enjoying this conversation. So, before we went into the break, I asked you what were your top three most favorite places you've ever been and one really wacky story.
Okay, well, it wouldn't be hard to pick my top places. And I just want to say somewhere within the continental United States to start with. And I've been to Salem, Massachusetts, twice on Halloween. And that should be a bucket list place for every adult to go to. It's a lot of fun. The city really knows what they're doing. They show you a great time. And then they usher everybody out at midnight, and it's a done deal. But it's just a lot of fun. So that's somewhere that we can go in the continent.
That way, I just have to say, that is the last place I would ever have thought you would have brought up as your top three. I'm thinking Yellowstone or, you know, Grand Canyon or something like that. But Salem, Massachusetts. Okay, so you mean you go during Halloween. That's the key.
Yes, if you go during Halloween, you're going to see every character you've ever dreamed of seeing. People take their costumes to the highest levels. It's just absolutely amazing. We dressed up as the witches of Eastwick since we were a group of girls.
Oh, I love that. I love it. So what do they do? Just the city has just a gigantic party, or are people, what happens?
Yeah, I think it's a whole week or weekend, depending on where Halloween falls. And they just open everything and all of, there's a whole bunch of things along the sidewalk. So it's a whole week of stuff going on that you can go to. But the night of Halloween, they just have these big get-togethers. There's music and concession stands, and then just everyone walking around in their costumes. It's just the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life.
All
it's
right.
So
that wasn't on my bucket list, but maybe it might sneak in there after you described it. So what's your second place?
My second is Paris, and it will always be probably. It's just the iconic place that you think of when you think of travel, and there's so much to do there, starting from the Moulin Rouge and going to the Louvre and, of course, the Eiffel Tower. Those are three things that I would do again and again and again. And my
let
third
me ask
is
you,
Rome.
Wait, before you go on to your third, hold on, because I've been to Paris for a weekend. I studied in London for a semester of college, and my boyfriend at the time, he met me there. He came to England, and then we went to Paris for a weekend, took the hovercraft, and I loved it. I do want to ask you, you hear some, you know, we hear some negative things about Parisians. They hate Americans. Do you find that is true? Or is there a certain way that we're supposed to behave when we're there to fit in? Like, for example, not wearing big Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, I would wear black on black, solid black in Paris. With maybe a scarf. And I have heard that story, and I have had the only bad experience I've ever had like that was in Rome, not in Paris. Mm. So it will probably happen to every American somewhere if you're being a non-observant American, if you know what I mean.
Well, you know what? I'll explain what you mean. What does that mean?
It means if you're when it happened to us in Paris, or in Rome, we were sitting in a cafe just expecting them to come up and wait on us in any second. We weren't watching them or looking them, making any eye contact with them and talking amongst ourselves, and we were probably there for 45 minutes before we realized we were not going to get served.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just our behavior and our demeanor. So we stood up and moved on and learned a quick lesson from that.
So, all right, so of course we all want to know, what was your behavior and your demeanor that turned them off so much? Did you ever figure that out?
Yeah, I just don't think we walked in, we didn't make eye contact, we didn't say hello, may we be seated.
Ah.
We just weren't polite in any way, shape, or form. We just marched on in, we sat ourselves down on this. It was the outside of a cafe, but it had tables, and just, I guess, assumed that we were going to get waited on.
That's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I studied, the most wonderful thing about studying overseas is you get to do a lot of traveling, and it's usually weekend traveling. And I went to Rome as well, and I didn't find that at all. In fact, I found them to be the most friendliest people. But I think it depends on where you go in Italy, isn't it? Isn't that like Florence?
No.
If I remember correctly, they're a little more friendly.
Yeah, it was all really quite friendly in all of my travels throughout Europe. And that was the only experience we had. And I felt like it was our fault. So I kind of brushed that off. I did. But
so I think that's good to know, though. That's good to know, Kelly, that when you do go somewhere, that we think of ourselves as a guest in that country. So if you have a guest who walks into your home, you expect them to be pleasant and glad to be there.
Exactly.
Is that an approach we should have when we travel, wherever we travel?
Absolutely. Take travel as an opportunity to put on your very best face, to be your very best self.
Mm. Great. Okay, so what's your third?
Third, I had Rome. Even though that opportunity that happened there, I've been back to Rome. I've thrown the coin all over my shoulder, and it's worked every time. And I would continue to go back there. There's so many things to see and sections of the city and history. I just can't get past it. So right now, those real quickly are the top three that I've been to. And I have a list of places that I want to go, and they all seem to be in the Pacific right now. I haven't
Tell me your bucket list.
It would be Fiji, Tahiti, Bali, New Zealand, Australia. Yeah, in that direction.
Well, we have a radio host from Australia, Tara Darlington. She does a show called Empowering Motherhood. So you guys need to hook up. And maybe, I find that the most interesting travel is when you really get to be with people. Like you've been bringing up some things that are kind of tourist attractions. Do you find that there might be, there's an etiquette so that you can get to know the people of that city? Yeah.
It's really important. On this last retreat we were just in Tulum, the owner and proprietor of this small boutique hotel spent an evening with us, sat down and told us his story of chopping out this boutique hotel in the jungle of Tulum that he's been working on for nearly 20 years. And it just brought so much to the trip to know the history of where we were actually sitting and sleeping and eating and get to know what he went through. Is such a funny story because he had grown up in Mexico, but his parents had shipped him off to Europe for training. And the only reason he came back was for a bachelor party, and that's when he fell in love with his own country again. So it was
I love that. This is going to strike you as what? My father is actually a very famous square dance caller. And I know you're like, what? So, yes, he is in his own, he is, has created, actually is a pioneer in the level of higher level square dancing. So taking it out of the barn dance, you know, that we most commonly, or your, you know, PE class in elementary school. And he has pioneered something called advanced and challenge dancing, which is a very high level and has created many, like most of the square dance calls and choreography for that higher level. So he's really a legend. And I tell you this, because of that, we've traveled in many other parts of the world because all over the world, they square dance. And he is known all over the world for that. So we've been, for example, we went to Japan. And when I was 15, they've been there. My parents have been there several times. And we stay in the homes of the square dancers and the gifts that come pouring out to us. And the you know, this, and many of them don't, the only language they have in common is the square dancing, because square dance language is the same, whatever language you're calling it. So a do-si-do is a do-si-do anywhere. Yes.
I see.
Right. And so, so I, you know, the idea of being with the people is so, to me, that's what is, makes it so fabulous. Sure, I love lying on a beach, but I certainly would love to get to know the locals and what are they eating? What are they doing? How do they make a living? I mean, that kind of thing is like really fascinating to me.
Exactly. If you're in a hotel with four white walls, you really have no idea where you are. It just behooves you to get out and to see the real architecture and to meet the real people and to eat the real food. And then when you come home, you're like, I know what's down. I know what's going on.
Yeah, and also, I like the idea of being spontaneous, but you what do you think about, can you overplan for a trip?
Well, if you cannot release things that don't happen, you can't overplan for a trip. So mm-hmm. you just want to try and give yourself a goal to reach, and the people, if you're in charge of a family or you're in charge of you and your spouse and you're going on a trip and you said, well, this is what we're going to try and do, but if getting to the Met doesn't happen, then it's not going to happen, and just let it go. So it's very important. I think Maya Angelou, she talks about the three things that you want to know about a person, how they handle a rainy day, lost luggage, or something else. But it tells a lot about you on your trip, how you're acting, and I'm talking about bringing your best self with you when you travel.
Hmm. Now, you offer a 5-day trip planner. Tell us about that.
I do. I have been writing this list of this I have been writing this list for years, but last year I was in Madrid and I was in charge of getting a group of retreat leaders from the airport to the apartment, but the apartment street was a no-car zone. And I knew that, but I had left my printout of all of the map and all of the information on the apartment in my luggage, which was in the back of the van. I was relying on my cell phone, and my cell phone would not turn on in the new country. So I could not give the driver any advice as to where to drop us off. He knew where the apartment was, but he couldn't drive us to it. So that's when I decided then and there that I was going to put my travel planner into practice, because when you print it out, it folds in half, and you can put all of those documents in there that you always print out, like your hotel confirmation and your car rental confirmation. So it's much more than just a trip planner. It also has all of that handy stuff on there that you want, but it holds the stuff that you print out anyways. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So how can our listeners get their hands on that?
All right, I'm just going to have them come to bucketlistretreats.com and sign up for our travel club. And once you sign up for travel club, we'll send you the PDF in an email. And it really turns you into a travel expert with the confidence of knowing if you are ready to go or not. You just print it out, glance it over, or fill it out, and you'll know if you're ready to go or what you still need to do.
Beautiful. Okay, so Kelly, we've run out of time. I can't wait to get with you again and learn more about your travels and travel with you together. I mean, well, someday maybe together, but, you know, even
sure.
Just learning vicariously is really, you know, it's just fills my soul. So one day I'll put down my bucket list. I'm not sure if Salem's on it, but maybe it will be now. So thank
you
for joining.
I try to enjoy any, you bet. I try to enjoy any trip I'm going on. So thank you very much for having me.
Well, I have enjoyed this trip together with you. If you want to learn more about Kelly and her travels, check out her show, Travel Talk, on EWNRadioNetwork.com. Also, if you're interested in joining one of her retreats or starting one of your own with your company, girlfriends, you know, again, transformation. Think of it as being transformation and doing something for you. Go to bucketlistretreats.com. So that's all for now. Thank you again, Kelly, for joining us. And until next time.
Time's up for now. If you want more enlightening conversations that could change your life, visit EWNRadioNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.